Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Welcome on this New Year's Day Eve edition. Oh boy, 2020 can't get out of here fast enough, right? The year that we're all going to remember, but we all would love to forget. I mean, that's kind of the way it is. And the one thing about this season that maybe you don't want to forget is the fact that the Packers are on the quest of being 13-3, the number one overall seed in the NFC. And having the ability, at least, to control their own destiny at home from the friendly confines of Lambeau Field. And we know that the Bucs season didn't go the way we had kind of hoped it would. We didn't get a chance to see Badger basketball in the postseason in the NCAA tournament. The Badgers football season got somewhat derailed. You see what happened with the Brewers this year, but the Packers have stood strong, and they're the ones that are bringing you hope towards the end of the year and into the new year. So, hopefully it continues on. Glad to have you back. Let's bring in Ryan Wood, shall we? Let's do this. Let's bring in Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Ryan, how you been?
What's going on, Bill? Doing pretty well.
Good to hear. Good to hear. So let me ask you, the last time these two teams met, how much should we take from it, I guess, is the best way to put it. I'm looking at I said 35-20, Packers get a win. A lot of the same things are going to happen, in my opinion. It's not like you're going into a hostile environment. You're playing at a fanless Soldier Field. So I don't really, even though the Bears have played better, I still don't think the Bears are the team that many people are starting to believe they are. You know what I mean?
I mean, during this recent uptick for the Bears offense, they've played the Jaguars, they've played the Vikings, they've played the Texans and the Lions. So we're not talking about a murderer's row of defenses here. It was just a month ago, and I get that a lot can happen in a month, a lot can change in a month, especially this year, 2020. It's like every day's a month, but it's only a month. It was not that long ago, and the Packers waxed the Bears at Lambeau Field. The score was nowhere near as close, nor as indicative of what the game actually was. It was one team that was far superior than the other. And I get that the Bears didn't have Akeem Hicks, and on Sunday they'll have Akeem Hicks, and that does make a difference. But I have a hard time thinking it makes that big of a difference. The way that this Packers team is playing, it's going to be 13-3 again, most likely, just like last season. But it's a much better team than last season. So how much do you make? I don't think that you can forget the fact that they just blew them out a month ago.
I look at the way the Packers did it last time, 163 yards in the run game between Jamal Williams and Aaron Jones. Now you add into the mix A.J. Dillon. The old adage is how you only have one football, and you've got all three guys playing pretty well. Jamal Williams obviously coming back from injury, but how do you see the spread around, so to speak? I think still Aaron Jones is your cash cow, but between Jamal Williams and A.J. Dillon, how do you see that working out in the backfield?
I wish I knew. I have no idea. That's going to be really fascinating, Bill, because there's only one football, and there's three of those guys that they want to get that football to. And it's, you know, like Matt LaFleur said earlier this week, it's a good problem to have. It's a luxury because, effectively, you're always going to have a fresh running back to throw at a defense. So you don't have to, you know, you can wear on a defense and even more for four quarters when you keep those legs fresh. I don't know how they're going to. It's going to be really interesting because they can't just put A.J. Dillon back to the back burner again after what he did last week. He's a playmaker. He makes them better. He's got to be on the field. Jamal Williams does certain things better than any of the other two. He's the best pass blocker. He's quite possibly the best receiver. He led the team in touchdown catches last year. So it's tough. I don't know how they're going to do it, but at the end of the day, it's a really good problem to have.
With A.J. Dillon, the way he ran, tremendous. I'm glad to see him run the ball extremely well and get his opportunities. But I'm kind of pumping the brakes a little bit on the, hey, it's no big deal, get rid of Aaron Jones, get rid of Jamal Williams, you got A.J. Dillon. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's certainly saying it's no big deal would be exaggerative, no question about that. It is a big deal because if you can just allow yourself to envision what a backfield might look like with Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon for an entire season, you've got a lot of lightning and thunder there. And you've got a lot of explosiveness and dynamic playmaking ability. The problem is that the cap is a big deal in the NFL, and there are things that you can absolutely do to manipulate the cap. But at the end of the day, you've got to fit under the cap. I mean, there's only so much you can do, and this is a team that spent a lot of money to retain its own from Aaron Rodgers a couple years ago, the massive deal he got, to David Bakhtiari, to Kenny Clark, and to go out and spend in the free agent market with Za'Darius Smith, with Preston Smith. At some point, the cap runs out. So, it's very much a big deal. In a perfect, ideal world, you would very much want to have Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon split a backfield together. But it's tough to see, just considering that Aaron Jones is a dynamic superstar talent that on the open market is going to get top dollar because he deserves top dollar. And at a fraction of the cost, you might be able to have A.J. Dillon and Jamal Williams back in your backfield, and that's pretty good backfield in its own right. So it'll be interesting to see how Brian Gutekunst values that position and kind of keeping that trio together.
There is, as much as I like what Jamal Williams does and even what I saw at A.J. Dillon, there's not that extra gear, that extra intuit, that extra hop, that extra step, that extra burst. I mean, it's just, to the eyeball test, you can clearly see that Aaron Jones is a difference maker, and those guys can be, you know, really quality supporting cast. So, I understand that there's a whole monetary situation that the Packers have to work on, but to say goodbye to Aaron Jones would not be an easy pill to swallow. You know what I mean? Especially with the relationship that he's grown with Aaron Rodgers and the way he's performed and picking up blitzes and become so much better a receiver. That would be a tough pill to swallow.
There's no question. Even look at Sunday night. A.J. Dillon had a phenomenal game. He had a 30-yard touchdown on 4th and inches. He ran over the entire Tennessee Titans defense from the 5-yard line for his second touchdown. I mean, it was a freakish play. I mean, he had no business getting in the end zone. He just bowled over 3-4 guys, 5 yards. And yet it was Aaron Jones who changed the game after the Titans had pulled close with that long run down the sideline. They needed a play, and he's the one that delivered it. And that's the thing that you get with Aaron Jones that you don't get with anyone else, is that at any point, whenever he touches the football, he is Barry Bonds in the box. Any pitch can go out of the yard. Any play can be a home run. That's what Aaron Jones gives you that no one else does. So that's the tough thing. But again, it's a money thing. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. Certainly, there's other sacrifices that they would absolutely have to be making to do it. Starting over again in the secondary. Now you can say, you know, on paper, Kevin King versus Aaron Jones, there's no question who's the better player. I mean, one's a pro bowler and the other is often hurt. But Kevin King's a very good corner. And if you don't have him, you are starting over at one of the game's most important positions. Again, you have Jaire Alexander and a lot of question marks. So, you know, there's a full 30,000 foot view that they've got to make of this roster. And maybe that includes tagging Aaron Jones. By all means, he's a guy that they want back on this team. It's just, it's not going to be an easy thing to do.
Talking with Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, you bring up the defensive side of the football. Savage has played extremely well. Really, you go back to like week 10 and beyond, he has been really, really solid. Jaire Alexander, we know about. Kevin King, at times he's had his issues, but for the most part, it's become one of the better secondaries in football. And I think Adrian Amos, we don't talk about him, but he's just a stabilizer. I mean, he's not dynamic. He's not great, but he's very much a stabilizer. Now you're starting to see the linebackers get in on the action. You're starting to see Rashawn Gary become a real force, not necessarily statistically, but more so getting push. Kenny Clark always has. Darius is roaming around. Do you start to get the sense that this defense, after going to Mike Pettine, saying simplify it, that all of a sudden this thing's starting to gel and maybe hit the ground running at the right time?
I don't know how you can make any other thought and formulate any other opinion after what you saw last Sunday. I think going into that game, it was very much an open question of, okay, how much of this is just a byproduct of, you know, they've looked good against the Bears until the fourth quarter. They sacked the crap out of the Eagles, but everyone's sacking the Eagles. I mean, it's a terrible offensive line, and Carson Wentz looks broken. So the fact that they had 7 sacks against the Eagles, okay, that's what they should do. They played well against Matthew Stafford and the Lions, but it's the Lions. So there was still that question of how do they pair up against a really good offense? And the Titans are nothing short of a really good offense. 31 points per game coming in. Derrick Henry, and not just Derrick Henry, because they got Corey Davis and A.J. Brown, Johnny Smith, Ryan Tannehill. I mean, they got playmakers on that offense. And for them to hold them to 14 points, and really they were one very well-designed and executed fake from Ryan Tannehill away from just 7 points, because that play, the design of that play, the execution of that play was flawless. Those things are going to happen. The fact that they played that well against the Titans, I don't think that you can look at this defense as anything else other than late in the season. It's coming into its own. It's much better than it was 2-3 months ago. There's no question about that. The pass rush is back. Darnell Savage Jr., if you invert his seasons, if he had 4 touchdowns in the first month of the season instead of the past month, he's a Pro Bowler. So, you know, he's coming on as a young guy, and, you know, at all levels, it's been a defense that has gotten better and better.
Before I let you go, I asked a question earlier, and this is something we'll get into a little bit more next week once kind of the playoff scenarios map out. But what team do you feel is best equipped to come into Lambeau Field once the postseason gets underway and knock the Packers off?
You know, I think it's probably either the Bucks or the Seahawks. The Bucks, because I get the whole cold weather thing for Tampa, but it's Tom Brady, and it's a good defense. And a good defense travels in the cold weather. That's one of the a run game and good defense you can expect to travel even in the cold. Tom Brady, he's not scared of the cold. I mean, he's lived his entire professional life in the cold. And then I think anybody in this conference that has to go against Russell Wilson is going to find it tough out. Russell Wilson's the type of player that can just go off and ruin a season. And frankly, he almost did that in the divisional round last year. I think the Packers are a better team than the Seahawks. I think that that's been established. But Russell Wilson's just one of those guys, and I know he's never won at Lambeau Field before, but he's just one of those guys who, if he has the right day, you don't want to see him. So those would be the two teams that, you know, but here's the reality as far as I see it for the Packers. They're not a fluky number one seed if they win this week. It's not a fluke. On paper, they're the best team in the conference. That's where they're going into the postseason with. It means they could lose. They lost in 2011 when they were the best team in the conference. You've seen this happen before. Doesn't mean it's a guarantee or a lock, but it's where you want to be sitting going into the postseason. You want to feel confident and comfortable that you are, in fact, the best team in the conference, and I think that they can feel that way.
Great stuff as always. We'll talk again next week as we start to effort towards the postseason and kind of figure out who's playing who and where and when and who the next opponent's going to be for the Packers. Ryan, great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, take care.
There you go. Ryan Wood, Green Bay Press Gazette, PackersNews.com. You can find him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood, at @ByRyanWood. Joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to SchneiderJobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends over there at New Mail Medical. You're about to ring in the new year. Try ringing in a new you. It's that simple. Our friends over at New Mail Medical, they can help you out, whether it's just getting you through the holidays and getting you energy into the new year. 2020's been crappy, so 2021, start off with a new you, start off with more energy. Maybe if you've had issues during quarantines and being cooped up and staying home and a certain room of the house is not living up to the expectation, so to speak, like you thought it might, there's another reason to head over there. But in addition to that, our friends over at Newmel Medical Center, you don't have to go into the new year with weight. And if you do, and you're heading at and you're weighing in today and you're going, you know what, I need to lose some poundage, they can help you out with the all-in-one weight loss program as well. And it really, really does work. I'm ending this year down 64 pounds from where I was last year, and I'm almost the same time. So it's been great, absolutely fantastic. Kept it off, lost it, kept it off, and I'm looking to lose maybe six more, something like that, and get down to an even 225, 230, which will be like the lowest I've been since high school. So it really does work. Call them 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That's the Newmel Medical Center. When we come back, a little bit of concern, but otherwise, as far as last night goes, no big deal. It's somewhat understandable. Stay tuned. We'll talk about it more coming up next on the Bill Michael Show.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
A reminder, the Green and Gold postgame show coming up immediately following Green Bay and Chicago this Sunday. After the game, Gary Ellison and I, we're going to get your reaction. Whatever happens, postseason, it's going to be getting underway in a week, and we'll let you know where the Packers, what they're going to be doing, whether they're going to be playing at home, sitting back and relaxing and waiting for the next opponent to come to them, or if something else transpires, plus the way the Bears play. We'll talk about all of it coming up immediately following the game, the Green and Gold postgame show, right here in many of these same stations. The Bucs, a couple of nights ago, 144-97. They just destroy the Miami Heat easily. So in a back-to-back, the Bucs then turn around and fall last night, 119-108. This is was a discussion. There, you saw some animation between Chris Middleton and Giannis last night. And this was the discussion after the fact.
Giannis and Middleton going at it here. They're talking to each other, teaching each other. It's a bit vocal. This would lead me to believe that it may, in fact, have been a breakdown defensively.
Well, just a lot of passion. I love the passion on Chris's part. It's like two brothers having a disagreement. And yes, it gets heated at times, but you know, it's not going to cross any kind of a line. Giannis jumps up like it might, but it's only to emphasize a point. And it's hard to know exactly what they were talking about, but that last wide-open layup, don't know for a fact that that's what it was about, but it kind of looks that way now.
And then they team up on an alley-oop. See? Beautiful.
So there you go. That was the Bucks broadcast on Fox Sports Wisconsin, and it did get I don't think heated would be a good way to put it, but it was animated. It was two guys that were genuinely, more so Chris Middleton, pointing out something. I mean, he kept pointing his arm over at the court as if to say, you missed this or you didn't do this or whatever, and Giannis kind of nodding his head. I mean, it looked like Giannis was kind of taking his medicine. And it's good that Chris Middleton has that kind of cachet that he can get in Giannis's grill and say, hey, you know what? You screwed up, you know? You're the MVP, man. You're the king that reigns supreme in the kingdom. But you screwed up. And that was part of that discussion last night as the Bucks fall in the second of the back-to-back against the Miami Heat. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Dan, listening to us in Miami, talking Bucks and Heat. Dan, how you doing?
Doing well, Bill. Happy New Year to you, your family.
You too.
Everybody at the station. Appreciate it. So big picture, Bill, wanted to bring you back to Bud here. And you're right. Yesterday's game in a vacuum doesn't mean much, but it's more the big picture to me, as always. And it's really the lack of composure shown by the team overall and how I think that should come from Bud. And if you don't mind here, I'm actually going to paraphrase from a popular poster on a local forum here in his work. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to read you a couple sentences because he said it much better than me. He says, he basically says, one second here. Okay, best coaches stay out of the way of most of the time of their NBA players. They don't overcall by setting a play every single time down the floor. But there are times when the shots don't fall. It could be cold shooting, great defense, or in the playoffs, it's likely both. What does a team do in these situations? What do the players truly believe in? For most teams, this leadership needs to come from the bench, except Bud simply doesn't provide it. You can sense it in the players. Last night was a perfect example, as we saw players individually try to right the ship. It was just players trying to do it themselves against the matchup in the teeth of the defense, just like the opposing coach would hope for. This team will never win a title with Bud, he says. Hopefully he's wrong here. Sucks, but true. But that's, Bill, basically this is, you know, how Bled used to lose it down the stretch and how we lost it against Toronto. I mean, what are your thoughts? I mean, this is what I'm concerned about. But anyway,
I completely understand what it is that you just read, and that is correct. I mean, what coaches should do is allow players to play, but put them in the best possible position to be successful. And if they start to get astray because of the way they want to play, you as a coach, you're there to coach. That's what you do. It's not just babysit and make sure that everybody goes to practice. It's to be the coach, to put them in the best possible position to make plays. You saw that. I mean, Popovich has been very good at it. We've seen other coaches throughout history be very, very good at it. Phil Jackson's been good at it. Red Auerbach for years was good at it. I mean, even though he had talent, you still got to corral the talent. So some of the best coaches, that's what it is they do. And that's why once Giannis signed, and it became official. I mean, he's a Buck. He went ahead and signed the Supermax. All the eyes now go to Coach Budenholzer, because now it's, look, there's no more distraction. This is it. This is the guys that you've been given, and you have to do more with them. You have to figure things out. You have to put them in better positions to make plays. Clearly what you're doing is pounding your head against the wall and hoping for a different result. And you can't do that. You're bringing in different shooters. You're bringing in different personnel. You're kind of tweaking things around Giannis. The one thing that has not changed is philosophically, defensively, more so than anything, is the way things are done. That's why now all the eyes go to Coach Budenholzer. If you can't get him over the hump here, then changes are probably going to be made. I would not doubt that. And I'm not calling for it because I'm hoping they can right the ship and they can kind of figure things out. And I figure for the first 15 or 20 games, it would take this team a little while to kind of feel themselves out with the personnel changes they've made. But after that, you got to figure, they got to hone it in. And then you got to really get into a rhythm. And you got to do it with the anticipation of the way the game will change also foresight-wise in the postseason, because the game in the regular season versus the game in the postseason, two drastically different styles of basketball. And that's where I think a lot of people are pointing the finger going, look, you can go let guys play. That's great. Let it fly. Yay, yay, yay. But when it comes down to half-court basketball, when it comes down to X's and O's, when it comes down to making a play, when it comes down to figuring something out, to changing a matchup, to changing something to make your guys successful, that's where people are starting to point the finger at Budenholzer. So we'll see how this season plays out. Appreciate the phone call. Let's do this. When we come back, we're going to talk some betting lines. Big weekend in the NFL. Big weekend. A lot of playoff ramifications on many of these games. We'll talk about the betting lines. That's with Chris Raybon of the Action Network. Coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Let the good times roll, and I want these words to make things right, but it's the wrongs that make the words come to life. But who does he think he is?
Welcome back. Glad to have you. The Bill Michaels Show. We continue on this New Year's Eve Day broadcast, the final Bill Michaels Show of 2020. And like we said before, you can't get rid of this this year fast enough. Fortunately or unfortunately, it's just been one hell of a year. But we still got another big week coming up in the NFL and a big week of betting as well, as you've got a lot of playoff ramifications on many of these games. Joining us now, Chris Raybon of the Action Network. Chris, how you doing, man?
How's it going, Bill?
It's going. I think there's a lot of big games this week. I mean, obviously, we'll start with the Steelers and the Browns. The Steelers have decided to sit many of their players, but the Browns are dealing with COVID in their building. Does any of this move the needle when it comes to public betting and wagering and the big money?
Yeah, you know, I think, it definitely does. What a lot of times you see is the team with, the more incentive, or at least the perceived more incentive, gets more of the bets here. So Pittsburgh getting not completely, locked into their spot. So they are getting 65% of the bets. We've seen 56% of the money, however, coming on Cleveland. So it's about split. But I would expect some big money to hit Pittsburgh. But now the line has been taken off the board. You mentioned some COVID situations, and we're waiting for maybe exact word and exactly who the Steelers are going to rest besides Big Ben. But just something to keep in mind, Mike Tomlin, without Big Ben at quarterback as an underdog, is 12-3-2 against the spread all time. So with guys like Mason Rudolph and Michael Vick as an underdog, the Steelers still can be expected to show up to play.
Obviously the Colts are trying to get into the postseason, and they are obviously looking for help as well. If they lose this game, if they win, they're in. So there's a lot riding on this one. Then you look at the next game, the Cowboys and the Giants. Now, whoever wins this game could end up winning the NFC East if indeed Washington gets beat, which is a pretty good possibility. It could still happen, but this game is on the road for the Cowboys. They are going into Giants Stadium, into the Meadowlands. The Cowboys have been playing better football. Offensively, they've been playing better as well. Talk a little bit about the money on this one.
Yeah, so this is one where we're seeing a reverse line move, which means the money and the bets are coming in on one side, and yet the books are moving the line to the opposite side you would expect, which usually means there's some sharp action coming in on one of the teams, and that team is the Giants. 67% of the bets and 84% of the money are on the Cowboys, and yet that line has moved from 3-2. It's moved down from Dallas favored by a field goal to off the key number of 3, and down to Dallas as a 2-point favorite. So the sharps are betting the Giants here. Dallas, always a team that gets a lot of public attention. And you mentioned the Jags and the Colts game, and I think it is interesting to point out because, even though it's a 14-point spread, we usually see teams a lot of times with zero motivation in week 17, they cover over 60% of the time, and 85% of the public betting on the Colts as 14-point favorites, 98% of the money on Jacksonville. So the Colts getting 85% of the bets and 2% of the money currently. Just wanted to point that one out. If anyone maybe thought that, the Colts are kind of a lock. Remember, the Jags won win this year, came in week one against Indianapolis.
You've got another game, the Dolphins and the Bills. And the Dolphins, they make the playoffs with a win in this game. They could also clinch a wild card spot if the Ravens, Browns, or Colts lose. Now, the Bills have already clinched, and they're either likely going to be, depending on what they do, the 2 or the 3 seed in the AFC. So they're still fighting for seeding. However, when it comes to these two teams, there's not a lot to – this one's being played up in Buffalo as well, where they've made the announcement that come the postseason, the Bills will indeed have some fans in the stands. But talk about the money on this one.
Yeah, so this one is one where the Dolphins are getting 85% of the money. We've seen that line come down from 2.5 to 1.5, mostly based on speculation that the Bills will rest some guys. That's actually that line is a little bit short. I think, the Bills, even resting guys, these things are never a sure thing. You have Miami, coming off, what, 3 straight home games. Now they're going to Buffalo, just everything's on the line for them, really. They've kind of flip-flopping between quarterbacks to get lucky the last couple of weeks. So this is another one where I would expect some some big money to hit the Bills late. But so far, the money has pushed the Bills to just 1.5-point favorites against Miami.
Talking about the Cardinals. The Cardinals are on the road taking on the Rams. Cardinals, obviously, they got a win to get in and hope that the Packers knock off the Bears. In the meantime, the Rams are playing without Jared Goff. Jared Goff with a broken thumb, and their backup quarterback has never taken a snap in an NFL game. So give me the lowdown, because I know that game started at, what, 3, 3.5 or something like that. And it's either that or excuse me, no, it started off, I think, at 1, and it's been bet up to 3.5 in this contest, correct?
Yeah, everyone's betting. No one wants to bet the Rams. Everyone's betting the Cardinals. They're getting 64% of the bets, 90% of the money. They're 3-point favorites at most books. Maybe you can get a 3.5, but this is yet another one where, you know, early in the week you're going to see kind of that public reaction to the backup quarterback. But I would expect late in the week another one where, especially if this one moves off the 3 and Cardinals favored by 3.5, that's when you'll see the money really start to come in on the Rams here. So that's one where, you know, this is no gimme for the Cardinals. I mean, you talk about going against the backup quarterback, the Cardinals lose straight up as a favorite to C.J. Beathard and the 49ers just a week ago, scoring only 12 points. And this Rams defense is even more talented. So no gimme for Arizona.
You got a Sunday night game, and that is Washington on the road taking on the Eagles. Washington, you win, you're in. You lose, you're done. So there's a lot riding on this contest as well. But the Eagles, a lot of pressure. I know Doug Peterson, very agitated this week, wants to win this ball game, wants to be able to come out and kind of prove that, as he stated, look, I've won a Super Bowl as a head coach. Things are not as terrible as all the Philly fans are making it out to be. A lot of strong words and a lot of reason to play in this game for Philadelphia at home. Talk about that contest.
Yeah, this is another one where it's very one-sided as of now. 65% of the bets, 93% of the money on Washington here. Another one I wouldn't be surprised to expect some big money coming on Philly later in the week. You know, interestingly enough, though, you know, despite all this money coming in on Washington, the line is just 1.5 in favor of Washington. And so that kind of tells you, you know, it's essentially kind of a pick-em game here, true toss-up. Washington has struggled in the first half. You know, all season. I believe they're 3-12 against the spread in the first half. So that's one where if you're considering betting, you may want to split, you know, go Philly in the first half and Washington in the second or for the full game.
A game that's pretty much stayed the same, that's the Saints on the road against the Panthers. Saints obviously are hoping that the Packers lose and figuring out ways to get into the postseason if there's a three-way tie between themselves, Seattle, and Green Bay record-wise. So talk about this game, because the Saints aren't sitting anybody.
Yeah, you have the Saints as 7-point favorites on the road. This is one where the public and the big money is split. The Saints getting 81% of the bets, but the Panthers getting over half the money. The Panthers are getting 57% of the money, so that's a pretty big discrepancy. I think there's a chance that, you know, as the game progresses, you could see some guys get pulled for New Orleans. But more importantly, Carolina, even though their record isn't great, they're 5-10, they've generally been competitive all year, including a 27-24 loss to New Orleans in New Orleans earlier this season. So remember, these are divisional games. There's a lot of familiarity there with the coaching staffs, even if some of the players are different. So you generally don't expect these things to be, too much of a huge spread between them. So a lot of times you see the underdog end up covering in these spots.
And then you got the Chargers. They're on the road with Justin Herbert and company, and their offense is good. Their defense is not, but the Chiefs are going to be resting guys, namely Patrick Mahomes. Talk about the way the money has shifted on this game.
Yeah, so this one's interesting because the public actually, it's 50-50 between the Chargers and the Chiefs, but 99% of the money that we've tracked so far on the Chargers here, that's why the line is 3.5 instead of the field goal. You have Chad Henne at quarterback for the Chiefs. You also look like you're resting maybe some first and second stringers. For example, you know, Le'Veon Bell has been held out of practice. You know, they may go with Darwin Thompson, you know, and Darrell Williams is at running back and some situations like that. So you are seeing the Chargers getting the sharp money here because, even without Keenan Allen, they're expected to still be closer to full strength here.
And then the last game, obviously, the Packers on the road taking on the Bears down at Soldier Field. And Packers still playing for the number one seed. Bears are playing better football. And in addition to that, they're also trying to play to get themselves into the postseason. It looks like all the bets, for the most part, are going for the Green Bay Packers. They're thinking the Packers are going to come in and learn the lesson from last year and not lose to the Lions. They're not going to lose to the Bears. And they should be able to win this one quite handily. But talk about the betting on this.
Yeah, no, the Packers played a great game last week against Tennessee and blew them out in what was expected to be a close game. And so the public's eating that up. 74% of the bets are on Green Bay as a 5.5-point favorite on the road. However, 74% of the bets for Green Bay, just 26% of the money is on Green Bay. So it's a complete split with you have 3/4 of the bets on the Packers, 3/4 of the money on the Bears. So this is another one of those big kind of sharp versus square, pro versus Joe disagreements on the week. And yeah, I think the Packers are a little bit dicey this week. But the Bears still dealing with some injuries in the secondary. So this may be a game where you look toward the total, depending on who the Bears have healthy in the secondary. It's at 51 right now. But yeah, Packers, Bears, 3/4 of the money one way, 3/4 of the best the other.
So there you have it. Good stuff as always, Chris. We appreciate it. And as the postseason rolls on, we'll continue to discuss, okay?
All right, Bill. Have a happy new year and take care.
You too, pal. Talk to you soon. There you go. That is our buddy Chris Raybon of the Action Network joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. We are deep into the holiday season, getting ready to come out of it. And what are you going to do in 2021, right? You're going to do things a little bit different this year? We're going to get eventually back out and about. And when you're out and about, think about this. You can choose either unleaded 88 or E85 if you have a flex fuel vehicle. And if you got a vehicle newer than 2001, unleaded 88, that'll work, right? I encourage everybody to do the same. You can reduce the amount of petroleum in your gas, replacing it with renewable corn ethanol, and increased demand for ethanol in our gasoline. It helps all the workers right here in our own backyard. They work hard every day to produce for you locally, whether it's truck drivers, farmers, God knows the farmers need us, the refinery workers, the dispensaries. It keeps the money here in our own backyard. So think about it the next time you go to the pump. If you need, the ethanol in your gas, or if you desire it in your gas, you got a vehicle newer than 2001, chances are you can run an unleaded 88. If you got the green flex fuel badging on the back of your car or on the gas cap, chances are you're going to be running the E85 through it. Take a shot and do something good for the farmers, the refinery workers, the truck drivers, the dispensaries right here in our own backyard and throughout the upper Midwest. It's an easy decision, and don't miss this chance to be an advocate for the farmers and for all the workers. Go to abetterfuel.org. That is abetterfuel.org. Again, abetterfuel.org. Stay tuned. We got a lot more of the Bill Michaels Show, a little bit of breaking news as well when we come back right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Now, a green and gold update brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin Veterans Services Department. Learn how to use your military benefits at cuw.edu/veterans. In Green Bay, here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers have claimed Damon Snacks Harrison off of waivers. The 6'3", 350-pound defensive lineman played about 20 snaps per game for 6 weeks with the Seahawks before informing them on Monday that he wanted to be released. He'd spent a month on the Seattle practice squad before they activated him.
I knew it was going to take hard work and it was going to take some time. So, once the work became a little more than I had expected, I wasn't going to run from it.
Snacks Harrison played for the Lions for a couple of seasons. Packers left tackle David Bakhtiari.
How good is he?
He's a good player. He's for being just a guy, a run stopper that can give you a great presence in the middle. And he's a very smart player, very instinctive, and he's garnered the accolades. All that has been earned for him.
The Packers face the Bears Sunday at Soldier Field. Chicago with a shot at a wild card spot. Green Bay hoping to get a bye in the postseason. Aaron Rodgers.
We both have something to play for. We're playing for the one seed. They're playing for their playoff lives. So there's a lot at stake for both squads. We got after them a few weeks ago. They've been playing a lot better since then. We know what kind of game it's going to be.
That's Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. In Green Bay, I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Welcome back. We are glad you are with us. Thanks so much. As always, we certainly appreciate it. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. You want to chime in, feel free to go ahead and do so. Again, 855-830-8648. Badgers get a nice win yesterday, 42-28. They knock off Wake Forest, and they win the Duke's Mayo Bowl. You've had a lot of different games that have been canceled as well, but you got the big ones coming up tomorrow. Tomorrow, you've got starting the day off, Cincinnati and Georgia. The 9-0 Bearcats go up against the 7-2 Georgia Bulldogs. That's going to be a good one. You've also got Northwestern. That's in the Verbo Citrus Bowl. So that game's going to get underway. They're taking on Auburn. Then later on in the day, you've got number one Alabama taking on number four Notre Dame. That is going to be in the Rose Bowl. And then the late game, the All-State Sugar Bowl, and that is going to be number two Clemson and number three Ohio State. You got a lot of good football, but you got a ton of good football coming up this weekend in the NFL as well. We're going to talk more about that. Snacks Harrison is in the building, and it looks like he's going to practice, and it looks as if passing the protocols, he's going to be able to play this weekend for the Green Bay Packers. So he is in the building, according to Coach LaFleur, and he is going to be practicing as well. So there you have it. When we come back, we still got a lot more to get to. Hang in there. We're going to talk with Eric Brancheck in the next hour, the Green Bay Press Gazette. But Snacks Harrison, is this a big deal or is it just a big body? Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next.
Sports Talk Network.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.